From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Supreme Court Justice nominee Sonia Sotomayor completed her testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee today. Then legal experts, civil rights advocates, and plaintiffs from one of her former cases appeared before the panel. NPR's Audie Cornish reports.
The witnesses that got the most attention from the senators were two New Haven firefighters. Frank Ritchie and Ben Vargas were among a group of firefighters who fought their department's decision to throw out results from a job exam where no blacks scored high enough for promotion. An appeals court panel that included Sotomayor issued a short judgment against them, which was later overturned by the Supreme Court. Lieutenant Ben Vargas.
Of all that has been written about our case, it was Justice Alito who best captured our own feelings. We did not ask for sympathy or empathy. We asked only for even-handed enforcement of the law, and prior to the majority justice opinion in our case, we were denied just that.
In earlier testimony, Sotomayor says the appeals court was bound by the precedent set in earlier decisions. Audie Cornish, NPR News, the Capitol.
The 4 days of Senate committee hearings have now adjourned after testimony from more than two dozen witnesses. UN Security Council has slapped another round of sanctions on North Korean companies and individuals. The move is in response to recent nuclear and ballistic missile activities by the North. NPR's Jackie Northam has more.
The sanctions are targeted against five North Korean organizations and five individuals associated with the country's nuclear and missile programs. They will be subject to a travel ban and their financial assets will be frozen. The measure would also prohibit foreign companies from doing business with the North Korean individuals or companies. The Security Council also banned the transfer of two types of ballistic weapons materials to North Korea from other nations. The sanctions are seen as a punishment for Pyongyang's underground nuclear test in late May. Blacklisting the companies and individuals could strike at North Korea's ability to sell arms and technology. Pyongyang has threatened to take countermeasures against any new sanctions, which could include starting up uranium enrichment and pushing ahead with its plutonium reprocessing. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Washington.
The nation's home builders may at long last be starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel. The National Association of Home Builders, a key industry trade group, says its housing market index rose this month to its highest level in nearly a year. That was as low interest rates begin to bring buyers back into the housing market. For the nation's big banks, things also appear to be looking up. J.P. Morgan Chase today posted a second quarter profit of $2.7 billion. That's up 36% from a year ago. The strong earnings number was well above analyst estimates and showed strength in both the bank's core consumer and investment banking businesses. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 95 points to end the session at 87.11. The Nasdaq ended the day up 22 points to close at 18.85. The Standard & Poor's 500 also closed higher, up 8 points to 941. This is NPR. Early indications point to continued economic weakness in July. Steve Beckner of Market News International reports.
The Philadelphia Federal Reserve Bank's manufacturing index, based on a survey of firms in the Mid-Atlantic region, fell 5 points to a minus 7.5 in July. It's a bigger-than-expected decline in the index, which is one of the first indicators of economic conditions in the current month, and shows deteriorating factory activity. Though new orders fell less rapidly, shipments were down sharply, and factory job losses worsened. Earlier, the Labor Department said first-time jobless claims fell a surprising 47,000 last week to a level not seen since the start of the year. But a department analyst cautioned against interpreting the dip as evidence of an improving labor market, saying changes in the timing of auto industry layoffs had skewed the government's seasonal adjustments. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner.
Chicago's Sears Tower has a new name. The iconic 110-story skyscraper will now be called the Willis Tower, named for the London-based insurance broker Willis Group Holdings, which has become the building's biggest occupier, with a deal to lease 140,000 square feet of space. The company has also indicated it plans to bring hundreds of jobs to the city. The building's original tenant, Sears and Roebuck, moved out in 1992. The tower is currently owned by a real estate investment group. Last month, glass-bottom enclosed balconies on the 103rd floor were open, giving tourists a view straight down for more than 1,300 feet. Crude oil futures prices rose again today. Crude oil climbed 48 cents a barrel to settle at $62.02 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.